video, just constant reminders of the words of Jesus. So, thanks David for sharing. It's great, you know, when we have a picture, a word from God, a scripture, and we share it. Because there would be most definitely someone here today that that's for. And I would just encourage you, going forward, do be open to share things. Sometimes we can be a block to God's word coming through because we won't share, we won't say. So please do take up the challenge and do share things in our services and with each other, because that's a real encouragement. Thanks, David. So, prayer. Week 3, intercession. So last week we covered petition, where essentially we were asking stuff for ourselves, our needs and our wants. We were encouraged to ask for ourselves. And this week we're going to be thinking about stuff for others. And we use this term intercede. I don't like it particularly. It sounds very legalistic, doesn't it? And it's one of those things that means simply standing between. And that means coming alongside and praying for someone else or another situation before our Heavenly Father. So simply that's what intercession's about. I wonder how many people are doing the prayer course in house groups. Stick your hand up. Good, good. Well, that's a good 50, 60%, I would think. Who's following at home? Anyone that's following the prayer course at home? Okay, you may not be aware, but you simply go on the internet and type in the prayer course and you will get the course stuff up. And it's got quarter of an hour videos for each of the elements that we're talking about in prayer. Now, we'd really want you and encourage you to come along to a house group because you get so much more benefit from doing so. But if you're on your own, you can't make it, or otherwise, do go on yourself. Go on the internet, type in the prayer course, and go on there and have a look. You will be blessed by it. I don't know, how are you feeling so far? Are you feeling positive about it, those that are doing it? Yeah? Good, good, yes. Yeah, well, I certainly am. I find it's challenging. There are lots of things that have been said that challenge me and I think challenge us all. And we're really praying that God would really bless us through this course, that we will just be drawn closer to Him. So, intercession. Well, it's very much in line with Jesus' guide to prayer. And anything that brings into reality God's kingdom. So very simply, your kingdom come. And that might mean it could be healing, it could be wisdom for people, as Lorraine's already prayed, a number of things for individuals, for the world as well. It could be miracles, it could be praying that people will feel His love and His peace. There are so many things that mean your kingdom come. And what Jesus was covering, encapsulating in that term was, your kingdom come. Pray that your kingdom, God's kingdom, will come in its fullness. Let me read you a story. We like stories, don't we? Interceding to save a life. Dr. Raymond Edmond, a medical missionary to Uruguay, had become so ill that his wife and friends gathered around his bed to say their goodbyes, having already dug his grave outside. But suddenly, much to everyone's surprise, Dr. Raymond sat bolt upright, requested his clothes, and sprang out of bed completely healed. Many years later, Dr. Edmond was preaching in Boston, and he recounted this story of the day he was miraculously rescued from death's door. At the end of the meeting, an elderly lady approached him, clutching a dog-eared old notebook. "What day did you say you were dying in Uruguay?" she asked Dr. Raymond. He told her, and she leafed through a notebook and eventually located the day, whereupon her wrinkled face suddenly lit up. "There it is," she explained, pointing at a scribbled note. "At 2 a.m., God said to me, 'Get up and pray. The devil's tried to kill Raymond Edmond in Uruguay.'" Wow. Now, has that happened to anyone else? Possibly not. Possibly. Maybe not quite in that way. But here we have someone, a lady praying particularly for this gentleman, not knowing the situation. And yet, God's prayer, the prayer that she uttered, was answered. We hear this lady praying on her own. And I guess there's many amongst us that will be able to point to times where either we prayed and something happened, or someone prayed for us and something happened, and that we're in line with what God's will was. Now, it's fantastic when those things happen. There are times, maybe some of you get it, where you have a sleepless night and someone's on your mind or a situation. How many times do we turn that perhaps into prayer? I know I don't always. I'll try and go back to sleep. But it's something that we maybe God's speaking about. And so intercession has this wide encompassing aspect about God's kingdom and God's kingdom coming. Jesus said, actually, before I tell you what Jesus said, let me just ask for Barbara to come and read and tell us about another instance. And this is where Abraham pleads for Sodom because his nephew Lot was there and relatives.
Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see what they have done as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is five less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of five people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home.
Thanks, Bob. What a remarkable story, isn't it? Of how actually Abraham was interceding, was praying for Sodom and for those that are within it, and particularly for those of his family and those that knew the Lord. And we have this to and fro conversation we were talking about earlier on, with that illustration with the telephone, is that it's listening and talking. Sometimes in our intercession, in our prayers, we overtake God. We talk and talk and talk, and we don't listen. And here we have this two-way conversation, which seems to indicate that actually God can change his mind. Wow, how's that? Now, ultimately, God knows what he's going to do. God knows what that result will be. But here demonstrated is how he engages and wants to engage with us for us to pray and help and come alongside us where things are needed, where those things are needed to happen. where his kingdom is coming. So we have this tremendous story about how God appears to change his mind because Abraham is so engrossed and so in love with God's will and saving these people. So we have stories like this, don't we? But I want to focus on, without taking too much material from today's, this week's house group, is to focus on a particular verse out of Chronicles. And this is, I'll just read it, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." And I want to start for us to think about what are those conditions? What are those conditions that would enable us, like perhaps like Abraham, to pray and to experience God in this way? Well, the first thing, and if you remember nothing else about the sermon, it's the shortest note I can say, is to go home and remember the word "if." This is such a powerful and meaningful word. So again, if you forget everything else, just go home and remember that word "if" and what it means. It says, "If my people..." You know, I think it's going to be a sad time for so many of us that when we come to be with Jesus, we will look back and think of the times where if we had prayed, if we had called out to Jesus, if we'd spoken with him, what might have happened? And I think our regret would be in his love for us still of those missed opportunities, those times where we wake up in the night or we think, "Oh, I should do that, is to pray for other people. If my people. And that word is so important. And it's not something that is something about church on Sundays and our prayers of intercession. It's about our daily walk with Jesus. And it's those prayers that are arrow prayers, those prayers that as we walk, we talk with him during the day. I wonder how many missed opportunities there have been even this morning, yesterday, where perhaps if we had prayed, if we had spoken to Jesus, we might have seen something happen. We might have had a word of wisdom, had something happen. And I talk about prayer a lot. I'm not good at it, and I find it very, very difficult. And this is a challenge to me, though. If I do, then Jesus will do this. And God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves." I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, "Ask and it will be given to you." This is a very basic starting point. Will we or won't we? It's our choice. We can go on and talk about, well, God may answer in different ways, and if it's not in accordance with will, it might not happen. But nonetheless, Jesus says, just ask, if we just ask. So what about the next word I want to just highlight? Humble themselves. Perhaps this is the biggest obstacle. It's the pride within us, isn't it? The times when we think, "Oh, I don't need to..." Maybe we don't articulate it this way, but our very behaviour says, "Actually, we don't need God. Life is going on fine. I'm managing this. I'm doing this. I don't want to bother God, or I don't really need God about this, but I do need him about this. I do need him about that." And sometimes it really is the elephant in the room, as it were. It's the pride that keeps us from being humble. And one of the conditions, Jesus says, "You have nothing. You are poor. You're in rags. But it's through Jesus that we're clothed in righteousness. It's him that gives us hope. It's him that gives us real life." And so unless we humble ourselves and honestly come before him, that's going to be a problem. Pray. And that's to do with faith. Having faith, believing God will indeed hear and answer, is an essential key to receiving answers to our prayers. There's no point in reciting the Lord's Prayer. There's no point in reciting prayers here, there, everywhere, unless we are really meaning it, if we're actually believing in faith. The Apostle James was a bit hard, but he said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he's double-minded and unstable in his ways." So that's a bit of a telling off, isn't it? So prayer is, we can't tinker with it. It's something that we have to do wholeheartedly and meaningfully. Faith is founded on God's promises. When God has given a promise, we can rely on the fact that God will always do what he has promised. I wonder how many times we perhaps search for promises from God. Not necessarily like a lottery, but opening and seeing what verse comes out of his word, although, to be honest, sometimes that does work. But more so of actually in our Bible reading, of noting down where God says something to people, and then taking that and claiming that as a promise. That's a good thing to do because we stand on God's word. Sometimes, I don't make your prayers, but that's what I feel like. Isn't it pushing things uphill? You know, we're praying for a whole list of things and it's easy to get, oh dear, you know, depressed, run down with just all the needs. And that's so hard, isn't it? But one of the things that I've picked up in our session on adoration, I found very helpful, was getting God's perspective. We tend in our, dare I say, in our services, we tend to rush on through adoration. We praise God for his creation. But if we actually divide up the time in a service, the time we really spend in adoring God, it's very small. And yet, by adoring God, understanding, coming to him, recognizing how powerful he is and how wonderful he is, puts us on a different plane. It raises our perspective. It raises a perspective to be on the mountain, to actually say, well, if our God is like this, his kingdom will surely come. That's a picture we'd like to see. It's actually those prayers. They're not a burden. They're chasing us downhill because God says he has promised to do this. He has promised to love his people. He's promised through Jesus there is a way for everyone to come to him, to have new life. This is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we should be praying into all situations for others that they will experience this. May our prayers of intercession chase us downhill. May they be burdens. May they not be a burden, but may they be a joy to enter into. Surely that's where we should be going. Then moving on for the other part of the verse. You should pray and seek my face. And this is really about God's will, isn't it? Seeking what God would say in this situation. Whether that's by a promise, maybe by a picture, maybe something that we know that this is what God would want. In 1 John 5, we read, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." Underline that. This is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And God's will isn't that hard to find, you know, because if it's in step with his love, it's in step with his love for individuals, for others. It's in step with his salvation. It's in step with him reclaiming this earth. Those are the things that we can pray in line with God's will. "If they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Again, one of the key things here is obedience, isn't it? It's fundamentally important for receiving answers to our prayers. If we say one thing, to be honest, if we pray one thing and then actually 10 minutes later we're thinking something else, or we're thinking bad of someone, or we are doing something, action or words, that actually really just discredit what we've just said. It's being about double-faced, isn't it? And here, this really talks about praying and obeying what we know to be right. As Jesus said, the great commandment in the law is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And surely that has to be a prayer for ourselves. And we show love for God by obeying him. And the Apostle John says this in 1 John: for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I like that, that his commands aren't burdensome. They're not, thou shalt do this, and it's going to be hard for you. But come and love me. Come and love my Father. Come and love one another. It's not burdensome. So obedience is that. And God wants us to show him love in the same way we want our children to show us love. We appreciate the hugs and the kisses and the words expressing love from our children. But we especially want to see our children following the instructions that we give them for their good. Then I will hear from heaven. And this is another factor. If we do these things, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, will heal their land. And the other factor here is as well that we don't just pray in our name, but we pray in Jesus' name. Is that the alarm going? Am I running over? It's gone off. Good. There we go. But we're praying in Jesus' name, and that makes all the difference. It's not a wishy-washy wish, a request, but because we pray in Jesus' name, that makes it. Jesus said several times that we should make our requests ask in his name. What does it mean to end our prayers in Jesus' name? Well, the phrase "in the name of the Lord" is used 44 times in the Bible. It was used to express that something was being done by the authority of God. In England, when someone came in the name of the king, he came with his support and authority, having that privilege conferred upon him by the king himself. No one could take this privilege away. No one could take this privilege to themselves. Favour, rights and privilege also generally accompanied the one who came in the name of the king. You come in the name of the king, people listen. You come in the name of the king, things happen. So likewise, when we close a prayer with our Father, to our Father, with the words, "in the name of Jesus we pray," we are exercising a privilege we have been granted by our Saviour and doing what Jesus commanded us to do. That is the powerful name of Jesus. And that's the powerful name of Jesus that he longs to hear us use. He says, if. So we're going to be looking at intercession in house groups during the week. I think it's going to be challenging. I think it's going to be good. It'll be a great time. And one of the things I just want to draw your attention to is the role of the prayer ministry team here. We have week on, a couple of people available specifically to come alongside, listen and pray with you. And it's so good to have people that will support you in that way. And I'll really encourage you to make use of them, because they are dedicating their time to helping come alongside and praying for issues concerning yourself or indeed for other things. I want to close just with another story, one that you may well have heard of, but every time I read this, I'm so impressed. Interceding for a nation. In May 1940, Hitler's forces had cornered 380,000 Allied soldiers in northwest France, trapped with their backs to the sea. No more than 30,000 were expected to be evacuated to safety. Facing calamity, King George VI called his British subjects to a national day of prayer. On the 26th of May 1940, the beleaguered people of Britain filled churches up and down the land, interceding for the lives of those 380,000 soldiers, crying out to God for the kind of national deliverance described in the Bible. Winston Churchill described the results of that prayer meeting as a miracle of deliverance. The first answer to prayer was the weather. The sea was the calmest it had been for 30 years, enabling an armada of private vessels to cross the English Channel to rescue troops from Denmark. Meanwhile, a storm blew up in France to ground sections of the Luftwaffe. What's more, Adolf Hitler inexplicably made one of the worst decisions of the war, holding back his forces to enable one of the greatest escapes in history, which enabled more than 250,000 men to fight another day and thereby undoubtedly determine the outcome of World War II. That miracle of deliverance is well known. Fewer people realise that it was on an answer to the intercessory prayers that spanned the British Isles on the 26th of May 1940. It's great, isn't it? We long to have that sort of deliverance, don't we? To see God's name upheld in our nation, God's name upheld in our neighbourhood. We long to see our community reach for Jesus. It's only when we come together and we pray, when we pray with those conditions, where we pray together, that we will see that sort of deliverance, those sort of things happening. So I really just want to encourage you. We will be having a time after our prayer course of prayer and fasting as a church, because we know that God wants to do so many things here. There are so many good things he wants to bless. But I just want to leave you with that word, really, and just think about it. If. We're going to close with singing a hymn. It's Hosanna by Hillsong. And I just want to just pause on these words, because I think each line is a challenge. I see a near revival. Do we? Stirring as we pray and seek. We are on our knees. We are on our knees. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to live like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Can we pray that? That's a real big ask, isn't it? Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk from earth into eternity. So as we sing, can we just dwell on those words as we sing? And may God speak to your heart and to my heart as we sing and we join in. If...